This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. In something of a role reversal, China has announced its plans to sanction U.S. companies involved in selling arms to Taiwan. This harder line reflects the changing power dynamics between China, a country with a booming economy, and the U.S., which is still pulling out of a recession. Joining us to talk about this changing relationship is Kurt M. Campbell, Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian and Pacific Affairs. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
How would you characterize the relationship between China and U.S. at the moment? I mean, you know, if you're, using a temperature scale, chilly, lukewarm?
Well, I would simply say that the U.S.-China relationship is extraordinarily complicated, and it spans almost every issue of consequence. There are going to be issues on which the United States will continue to cooperate very closely with China. There are also going to be issues on which the United States have differences. And there will be even other issues where the United States and China will compete and sometimes compete aggressively. What's happened over time, though, I would argue, is that there is a accumulating ballast, if you will, to use this analogy, in the ship that is U.S.-China relations that helps us stabilize in rough seas. So I would say this is a relationship that is fundamentally sound, but will have its challenges as well going forward.
Let me ask you about the selling of arms to Taiwan. I mean, it appears that the tensions with the mainland are at an all-time low under the Taiwanese president. Why sell arms to Taiwan now?
Well, first of all, the United States does have a responsibility that's congressionally mandated to provide defensive capabilities and also to maintain a capability in the region. We take that commitment very seriously. But it is also the case that the Taiwans have told us that for them to have the confidence to engage diplomatically with China on sort of peaceful cooperation across the Taiwan Strait, the backing of the United States is a critical component. And so we would argue that it is a careful, prudent, responsible American commitment to Taiwan that has, if anything, underscored peace and stability across the Taiwan Straits for decades.
China's foreign minister just urged world leaders to be patient with Iran and keep up diplomatic efforts to try to find a solution to Tehran's nuclear ambitions. How do you view this? Do you see it as a slap in the face to the United States, or do you think China has its own Iranian agenda?
Well, first of all, I think the United States has made a very clear argument that if China is truly interested in the maintenance of peace and stability in the Arabian Peninsula and with Iran in particular, then the best way forward is to join with the other partners in the P5+1. And I think the Chinese friends are evaluating their next steps in this regard, and I still think there is a substantial chance that we will be able to work together as part of a international team sending a very strong message to Iran that its nuclear ambitions must be curtailed.
In a State of the Union address, the president said that as part of his effort to strengthen the U.S. economy, he hopes to double American exports within 5 years. And then last week, Mr. Obama suggested China was manipulating its currency and keeping it artificially low, and that makes U.S. goods more expensive. And China responded pretty angrily. Why is it important for the president to address this currency issue right now?
Well, let me just say, in his visit to Asia, the president made clear that we will not be able to return to the status quo antebellum, whereby Asia provides relatively cheap credit so that we can buy inexpensive Asian goods, that there needs to be a rebalancing of our economic relationship. And you will have noted that in his State of the Union, the president not only talked about the need for this rebalancing, but also talked about an ambitious trade agenda with other partners like South Korea that will be part of an economic strategy going forward.
Hmm. China is currently the largest owner of U.S. debt, I mean, with more than $800 billion in treasury holdings. I mean, really, is the United States in any position to alienate China over things like Tibetan human rights and Taiwan defenses or internet censorship right now?
Well, let me just say that, you know, the idea that the United States is somehow, you know, sort of on the mat is just a misreading of recent history. I think many scholars and countries in the past have counted the United States out only to find our economy roaring back. As we look at the global economy, we are deeply intertwined, and any solutions that come forward really fundamentally have to reflect that they are win-win solutions.
Google is finalizing an arrangement with the U.S. National Security Agency to investigate internet attacks, which may have originated in China. How do you expect China to react to that, and what would you think if Google actually pulls out of the China market?
Well, first, I wouldn't have very much more to say beyond what I think Secretary Clinton mentioned in her excellent speech about a week and a half ago. I will say that American officials have been careful not to blame China officially. We have suggested that China, we believe, is in the best position to explain what has transpired. And so I think the process of dialogue with China on rules of the road in internet issues going forward will be part of how the United States and China can work together in the time ahead.
Kurt M. Campbell is Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian and Pacific Affairs. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.